It's time to Talk It Over, starring Diane Diamond, Lee J. Berman, and Louise Palanker. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Join us online at talkitoverradio.com. Because we're ready to talk it over.
There is no better place to be than right here with Talk It Over Radio. Hey, everybody, we're glad you're here. Come on in, sit down, bring us your problems. We are the radio show that solves the world's conflicts two people at a time. I'm Diane Diamond. I'm a journalist, author, columnist. Lee J. Berman is our professional mediator extraordinaire. He's the one with the solid professional mediation advice. Hey, Lee J, how you doing?
Diane, I am so happy. I woke up with a voice this morning for the first time all week long. I'm ecstatic.
Ooh, you sound a little stuffy in your nose.
Oh, a little bit. But, you know, given what I gave 4 90-minute workshops in the last 5 days, sounding kind of like this. I'm thrilled to have a voice to be with you all today.
And the other voice in our trio here is Louise Palanker. She's our resident comedian, author, and professional wiseacre. Say something wise, Wheezy.
Well, Lee J just told me before the show that he can thank Pineapple Juice for giving him his voice back. And he got that tip from Elton John. And
is that like a personal friend?
I don't know. Is Elton John a personal friend?
A friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah. And so all morning long, he's just been breaking into Crocodile Rock. Just
completely
randomly. Yes, it's pineapple juice is powerful stuff.
I actually did learn this morning that our recording studio is exactly one funeral for a friend from my home. Because it came on as I was leaving my garage, and it ended as I was pulling up in front of the studio.
Oh, really?
I see. The song. I thought you were like saying somebody had died.
It's that 18-minute song or whatever it is.
It's a long-ass song. Can I say that? Can I say that on the radio?
I guess you just did.
Yeah.
I guess you just did. Well, you know, we are the program that solves world's conflicts two people at a time. I have a conflict. I want to tell you about it.
Okay.
I have a friend who doesn't act like a friend sometimes. So anyway, I'll tell you more about that. So you guys think of your personal conflicts, too. And if you out there have one, give us a call, 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171, or talkitover@gmail.com. Hey, Sandra Bullock has a problem. Have you heard about this one?
She yes, does. I did.
And it's not just the man she's seeing.
What's wrong with him?
It's sad, isn't it?
I'm sorry. I'm just jealous.
You want to date Jesse James? He's very handsome.
No, I don't want to.
And he can fix things. That would be great, because my boyfriend couldn't get the barbecue going yesterday. And I was thinking, if Jesse James were here,
Sandra Bullock,
boy, that barbecue, it would be like a torch-wielding kind of, like, we'd be throwing steak into the air and just grilling them as they landed.
As they fell to earth.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let's be serious here
for
a minute.
Let's hear what
Sandra Bullock does have a big problem.
Yeah.
And Jesse James, they're battling his ex-wife, who I don't want to cast aspersions or anything, but she was a porn star, and she did do time in prison for tax evasion. She's a recovering drug addict, they're fighting over his daughter, who's only 5 years old. And Sandra Bullock herself wrote a letter to the judge begging the judge, please give us the child. But I guess the fight goes on. What is that woman thinking, that ex-wife?
It's her daughter.
I'm still hung up on how Jesse James goes from the porn star who's been in jail and drug rehab to Sandra Bullock.
All right, well, we can stop for a moment and just kind of awe at that. But maybe he learned who he doesn't want to be with by being with the wrong person.
Yeah, and very seriously, there's nothing funny about a child custody battle over a five-year-old who is in a space where you just don't know what they're being exposed to or how they're being raised.
Well, isn't it up to the courts to decide what's a fit home? And isn't porn star always unfit home? Wouldn't that
be? What I would think. And have you ever noticed how there's not ever like a porn performer? They're always stars.
They're always stars.
Every one of them, yes.
That's so
what do you
awesome.
Do? I'm a porn star. I'm a star.
You do it in front of a camera once and you're a porn star.
There's nothing. Nothing less glamorous than what they do, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so undignified.
This little girl has been living with Jesse James and Sandra Bullock, but the porn star is just not giving up. And it just makes me think about all of our listeners out there who have problems in the family, battling families. How How do they get from that spot, Lee J, to ensure that they're really thinking about what's best for the child and not just one-upping each other?
Well, see, here's the thing. When you go in front of the judge is supposed to be thinking about what's best for the child. But in fact, the lawyers for both sides, assuming that they're represented by attorneys, are arguing on behalf of their clients. And it really becomes a competition between the husband and the wife, or the ex-husband and wife, the parents, the mom and the dad. What a mediator does that's different, and I don't mean to sound like I'm always pitching mediation, but in this situation, what a mediator does is literally put a picture of the child in the middle of the table and say, what can we agree on that we want her to have in her upbringing, and find the things that they agree on rather than having the focus be on what they don't agree on. So they start the conversation that way.
So do mediators do a lot with child custody?
Oh, yeah. In
they
fact,
do.
It's mandatory in most court systems. But the problem is in the courts, it's a public system and a lot of people get divorced. And so what they do is these mediators do 4 2-hour child custody mediations a day. And that's their 8-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and,
my.
Yeah. So it's kind of a mill. And you really can't get anything resolved in 2 hours that's meaningful mm-hmm. when you're talking about raising a 5-year-old and what's really most important for the 5-year-old and how you all are going to work together to make that happen for the 5-year-old.
And when we're talking about these mediations being emotionally charged, I can't imagine any situation being more emotionally charged than that which involves our kids.
Exactly. Exactly.
And a porn star.
Yeah.
You know,
well, she's a porn star with a heart of gold. Come on, Diane.
Yeah, but you put the porn star in there and a former tax evader served time in prison.
Drug user, you describe,
Lee J, is so much, to my mind, is so much more beneficial to everybody involved than the lawyers. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about lawyers. Okay, Diane, go ahead. Thank you, I will. You know, they
He's
sit there and
again.
They argue for the sake of arguing. I'm representing my client. Well, I'm representing mine. And nobody, I've been in situations like that. Neither lawyer stops to put a picture in the middle of the table,
of
like you're saying, and what's best for the child?
And that's what mediators do, is we change the conversation. And, you know, there's one more thing I want to plug here that's really important. There's a new movement afoot in the law that's helping it so that when we say, you know, lawyers all do this, we can't say that anymore. There's a group called Collaborative Lawyers. And what they do is they represent the two people and their divorce and their child custody issues and everything else. And what they do is they have everybody sign a retainer agreement that says, I will represent you diligently in all the way up until settlement. But if a case has to be filed in court, we two attorneys agree to back away. You have to go find new lawyers.
Wow. I love that.
That's very interesting.
So their vested interest is in resolving.
Yes. It's called collaborative law. And if anybody wants to look it up on the internet, there's an organization called IACP, the International Association of Collaborative Professionals, because it also includes collaborative accountants, collaborative therapists, and all these other professionals along with the lawyers. Yeah, so it's IACP.org, and you can find in your state, in your city, in your neighborhood, a collaborative professional, collaborative lawyer who will help you take a different approach. So you're not battling over child custody, you're collaborating together about how to best co-parent that child.
So it's not about winning and losing. It's about the best solution for all involved.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
That's very interesting. You know who else could benefit from that?
Who's that?
Is Lindsay Lohan. Have you heard about this story? For those of you who have been living on the moon, I mean, she has some trouble with prescription drugs and maybe some other kind of drugs. But to my mind, it doesn't give her publicity hound father the right to release to the media these private voicemails that she's left them. Actually, Matt has a copy of one of these voicemails. Now, imagine a father releasing this to the public. Listen to this.
Someone is going to have someone else in their life constantly, and you're going to kill the person that they're there for. And that's not what I have. And I hate you so much.
Listen to this. I love so much. She's sobbing. And he decides to release those to the public, quote, so she'll get herself back into rehab. Do you think maybe it has something to do with getting himself back in front of the camera?
I think it has a lot to do with that. But we just played it, so we're in trouble, too.
Yeah.
We're co-conspirators.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, that's somebody who is just having a breakdown and wants to find her identity back. And, you know, I don't know about a father. I can't imagine what he must have been feeling that was so desperate that nothing else he could do or say would help her except releasing these to the media. Unless, as you two say, he really just wants to get back in front of the camera
right.
himself.
Lee J, it's not about that at all. And here's the thing that's heartbreaking to me about that is that this is a kid who's been estranged from her father on and off. Yes, Diane?
Yes.
And here she is reaching out to him. Now he's going to go and betray her in this way. And so if he had any hope of reconciling or building, you know, some sort of strong foundation with his daughter, because in her hour of desperate need, she's reaching out to him, he goes and does this. What a betrayal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to sit and have a talk it over moment. And he has said that he wants to do that. She has never responded. And maybe it's because of his reaction. But Matt, you had a very interesting thing to say before we went on the air about this. You don't condemn Michael Lohan quite as badly as I do, do you?
not quite as badly, only having the experience of having a family member go through addiction. When you've tried everything that you can possibly think of to try to help that person get into treatment or get whatever help they need, you will try anything if you love them. And so I could see a place where if he was out of other options or felt like he was out of other options and thought that this may help, even if it would make her hate him, he may do that.
Well, I think
a loving parent would.
The first famous parent who came forward about all this, I don't know if it was in the 80s or when it was exactly, but you'll remember it was Carol Burnett. And she said, you do anything you need to do to get between your child and the drugs, and you have to be willing to let them hate you. But I don't think she would have done that because she has a heart.
Yeah, me either. So when it gets that bad between family members, I mean, Sandra Bullock and the porn star, and you know, that's one thing. But this is now a grown adult with a grown father. And then it's so off the charts bad. Is there any way a talk it over moment can work, Lee J?
You know, there has to be. You know, if he got that message and he's tried everything he could do, it seems to me the thing he needs to do is invite her over and sit her down and have the conversation she's trying to have on the voicemail one-on-one with her, maybe have an interventionist there with him if he really thinks that rehab is the only thing, probably so. And at that point, they've got to be able to talk over, he's got to be able to play it back for her when she's straight and even keel and let her hear what she sounds like and let her realize that she's hit bottom, which is what they need. And there's always, always a way to talk it over.
They need some decent video of her eating a hamburger off the floor.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's Hasselhoff,
it works.
Right?
It works.
Oh, man, he's got his own problems, I'll tell you. Listen, before the break, I have to tell you about this friend of mine, not a family member, but this is a person that I have known for 12 years. And every time I'm with this person, happens to be a male, I get a little angrier because we'll go somewhere and he sees someone he knows and he'll go over and talk to them or bring them over and they'll, oh, hello, hi, how are you? And I just sit there for minutes and minutes and minutes and I'm never introduced.
Wow.
I sit there like a bump on a log. And the person looks at me and looks at this friend of mine and looks at me and I'm never introduced. So yesterday it happened again.
Does he remember your name?
I watched on my wristwatch. It was 4.5 minutes.
Wow. And what did you do?
I just said, hi, by the way, I'm Diane Diamond.
And have you said anything to your friend about this?
No, and I should have said something. You know, hey, you do this all the time, buddy. It really puts me in a bad spot. Why don't you introduce me? But I've just started to think he just has a bad upbringing or something.
Yeah.
What should I have said? I don't know.
I think later. I mean, for me, it would be later like, hey, you know, and you know, don't put him on the defensive because that I always find that kind of thing backfires. But there's a way of saying, you know, I just feel kind of like Lee J would say, use an I statement. I just feel kind of like the uncool kid at the prom when you don't introduce me. It's okay if you two talk. I don't have to be involved in the conversation, but could you maybe? Because we often see people we know, and I don't know. Lee J, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Weezy is absolutely right. Let's remember, anger is a secondary emotion. It's not a primary emotion. Anger covers up fear or hurt. So what you got to do is come from the place of hurt and say to your friend, you know, when you don't introduce me to the people that you bring over, it makes me feel like I'm not important to you. And, for me, it makes me a whole lot more comfortable if you introduce me, because then I feel like I'm part of the conversation. Can we make a deal from now on that we'll do that for each other when we bring third people into our little date, our little thing?
The only rule that I think is just a universal rule that applies is they get off the hook if they legitimately don't remember the name of the person they're talking to.
Oh yeah,
and then if it's Michael, your husband, and he's like, hi, you know, sometimes what I'll do is a Hail Mary pass where I'll go, you know, this is my wife Diane, and then if I had a wife Diane, I would say that, and then hopefully they'll then say their name, but that's a Hail Mary.
Oh, we have better than that. I mean, my wife and I from long ago have a deal that if we're at like one of my conferences where I'm surrounded by 1,000 mediators and somebody walks up, if I don't introduce her the minute that person walks up, she knows to say, oh, and I'm Trish, so that the other person will say their name, because she knows I would have introduced her right off the bat. And if I don't, it's because I don't know the name and I need her to help me out.
So
now maybe that's what I should say to my friend.
Exactly.
Do you not introduce me because you don't remember their names? Because probably that happens to me all the time.
Exactly.
Yes, give him that out.
Yeah. Now you're on the same side as your friend against the problem instead of you against your friend.
Right.
Yeah, but he's still making me mad. Okay.
Well, you know,
on
him.
When we come back, what do you do when your partner is full of anxiety and you want to help? We've got a caller on the line who wants to talk about that. Joan, hang on. But first, we are Talk It Over Radio, the radio program that solves the world's conflicts two people at a time. Give us a call, 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171, or you can email us. That's easy, talkitover@gmail.com.
Talk It Over is sponsored in part by the American Institute of Mediation, where leading mediators turn to continue their learning and career development.
We are Talk It Over Radio, your mediation fill-up station. You got mediation needs, we will pump you full of all kinds of solutions. I am Louise Palanker here with Diane Diamond and Lee J. Berman.
I guess I'm the pump.
That was nice, Louise.
Any message is better if you can make it rhyme.
That was cute. That was cute.
And I'm large and in charge, so I know.
Very nice.
All right. Yeah. Next up on the Talk It Over phones, we've got Joan. Hello, Joan.
Joan?
Joan's mad at us already.
What did you do to Joan, Matt?
We didn't introduce her in the first minute, so she thought we didn't remember her name.
She went home.
Joan, please. Joan?
Come back.
Oh, well, she has a tiny Joan. Voice.
I hope she'll call back in.
Oh, well.
So, Diane, what do you got in the meantime? You got some emails there?
Yeah, I do have emails here. Now, you see, I wasn't prepared. You've caught me off guard here.
I got it. This is from Anthony in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He writes, my sister is always on a diet, and frankly, she is not that fat, just sort of fat, and my whole family is sort of fat, so I wish she would just stop and enjoy her life already. It's a drag when we're out, and she gets this pained expression because we're all eating dessert, and then she winds up eating it anyway, and the whole thing is always just so dramatic. Gosh, what do I tell her to get her to just give it up already? She's not ever going to be skinny.
Ouch.
Wow. Well, I could relate to that. Never, ever going to be skinny part. Well, first of all, Anthony, I'm not the professional mediator, but let me jump in being the fattest one here.
Oh, no.
Stop it. You can't be rude. You can't be mean. You can't, hey, you're never going to be skinny. Just give it up. You can't talk to her like that. But
not even a brother can, right?
No male can talk to a female like that because we'll get mad and you'll pay for it. For a long time.
But she's kind of hijacking situations with, you know, there are people that make everything all about them all the time.
Yeah. That's definitely the issue. And that's the thing where what his problem seems to be here is not with her diet. As you read through the email, he gets to the part with so dramatic, you know, gosh, what do I tell her just to give it up already? It sounds to me like he's bothered because she's taking center stage every time they have dinner and she's making it all about her and her diet instead of the family being together and just having dinner. And that's the thing he needs to address with her. This is a symptom of that. You never obviously ever tell a woman she's not going to be thin or she'll, you know, get anorexic just to prove you wrong.
but what does he say to her? I mean, that's kind of a touchy situation.
Yeah,
he's got to say away from a dinner one time when it's just the two of them going out for Starbucks or something casual, and not just to talk about this, but bring it up at, on another occasion when you're alone with her, Anthony, and just say, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but what I've noticed lately is when we all go to dinner together, every time we sit down at the meal, it becomes all about you and your diet. From the minute we sit down and look at the menus until the minute we finish dessert and coffee, we go the whole time talking about your diet. And I know you're trying and, you know, happy to support you if that's what you really want to do. Personally, I'd like to see you not stress so much over it, but I need you to know it's kind of hijacking the dinner because there are more mm-hmm. things we want to talk about than just your diet.
And Tubby, comma, comma, comma.
And while you're doing this, don't play the Baby Elephant Walk music behind, right? Anyway, well, that's good. I mean, that's a good way to approach it. And, you know, we give you permission not to stress about it so much. I mean, isn't that what people are really looking for? They're looking for permission to eat that dessert.
Sure. And, you know, the other side of this, too, is, Anthony, you got to figure out what it is about you that's got you so bugged about this. I mean, at some point, let it go. This is your sister's drama. She's a, you know, if she needs to be dramatic, you can try to talk to her about it, certainly. But there's also a talk it over moment with yourself where you've got to say, why am I so bugged about this every time she brings it up?
Why because Anthony's also fat.
Wants to enjoy his dessert without her guilt of, you know, we should all be dieting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're just sort of fat, you know?
I like that. I like the way he describes the family. We're not the fat family. We're the sort of fat family.
we're just, the, you know, we're pleasantly fat.
Which is here's like another, most of America. What? Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's another email from Cindy in Springfield, Missouri. I have some relatives in Springfield, Missouri.
Gosh,
I wonder if Cindy knows them.
I've been there.
It's nice there.
Oh, really?
She writes, my cousin is always running for office and he never wins. He just keeps running and the whole family has to get involved in the campaign. And of course, we all have to pass out flyers for him and we have to vote for him, etc. I don't agree with all of his political views and I don't want to have to repost all of his agenda on my Facebook page. How do I bow out of his endless campaigns?
Oh my God, that's true. That's how it's gotten. It's no longer just, you know, could you spend a Saturday, you know, going door to door. Now it's like, can you forward this email and can you put this on your... Everybody, you know, is using everybody else as their kind of promotion team, no matter what they're involved in, really. Like, I wrote a book.
Before.
Can you help me, you know?
Yeah, well, you fan the page of my business and everybody you know wants you to fan the page of their business or their whatever.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. This is off. I'm thread jacking here for a moment. Just thread jacking for a moment. There is, you know, I've been on television for many years. I have friends in television. And there is one woman on television who, if I said her name,
Nancy
you would
Grace.
Know her immediately.
Nancy Grace.
No.
Nancy
no,
Grace.
No. Oh, pff, no.
Greta Van Susteren.
Please. No.
Let's keep
but
going.
It's somebody that well known who Facebooks me every day. So-and-so wants you to join so-and-so's fan page.
Yeah.
And it's like, would you stop? A, I'm never going to join. B, it looks like you're desperate. Would you stop it?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to give her advice to not do that, but every day for a month,
all
I've
right.
gotten this
Here's
from
what
her.
You do. Here's what you do. You say, look, Oprah, I am over this.
I'm so over you.
You are so needy. Someday you'll be kind of famous. You know, just calm the heck down.
Well, I guess we should go back to Sydney.
Well, first of all, I'll bet you a dollar that this person has some 22-year-old who's fresh out of college who's running the fan page for her and thinks that, well, this is the way to do it. And
right.
You bug people enough, they'll all join. And it's all about how many fans, how many followers you have. And
that's what's happening. Your friend doesn't even know that this is happening.
And I wish that Facebook would give us an ignore button on that, and they don't. I don't know why they don't do that. But you can't ignore those invitations. They just keep coming over and over and over, or hide it or something like that. But, you know, then Diane...
Okay, back to poor Cindy. Cindy's got a problem.
Yeah, because this is now a family
issue. What
does
she tell her cousin?
My mom, well, let me just give you a little inside story. My mom is pretty much of a Democrat. And has been her whole...
I'm sorry, pretty much of a Democrat.
Well, you know, as people get older, they get... Have you noticed
pretty
as people
pregnant
get...
pregnant or kind of pregnant?
Kind of pregnant.
Like, you know, there's the left side of the scale and the right side of the scale, and her mother is dangling from the fingertips off the left side of the scale trying to pull the whole thing over.
That's what she does. But as people get older, they become more ardent in whatever view they had at, you know, at 30, at 80. They're just, like, ridiculous. Anyway, that's my mom. She's a, you know... She's a Democrat, but she's a registered Republican. Why?
Oh.
Is that shocking to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she just had an abortion. Uh-huh. No.
What?
No, I'm kidding. Stop.
My mother's 80. She's 80 years old. So I think, you know, she practices safe sex. And but when she was a youngster growing up and registering to vote, her Uncle Jack was a Republican judge. And everybody in the family had to be a registered Republican.
Isn't that funny?
And she's just never changed her registration because she likes to be able to tell people, well, you know, I am more moderate than you think because I'm actually a registered Republican. But it was because of Uncle Jack. So sometimes these families can really kind of get in there and say, hey, you know, we're all doing this and you're doing this and you want and love your family. So you'll actually change your political leanings for something like that. And how do you stand up for yourself, Lee J?
You know, this is one where Cindy needs to just gather the rest of the family around her, and together they need to sit down and have a conversation with this cousin, assuming the rest of the family feels the same way. If it's just Cindy backing out, then she's got to say, you know, I just don't have the energy for it anymore, and that's okay. But I think it sounds to me like Cindy needs to gather the family, sit him down and say, look, we've tried and we've tried and we've tried and it's exhausted us and you haven't won any of these and we want you to be successful, but maybe you ought to think about something other than politics.
Or she could just plaster her car with Ron Paul stickers so that everyone just leaves her alone. No? Yeah, she could say, you know what, I'm kind of over politics. All right, have you got an email, Diane?
Yeah, got another one. Here's from Harvey in Dallas, Texas. Ooh, this is a doozy. I have a granddaughter who spent the last 4 years with a young man who's in a motorcycle gang. She says that they do a lot of charity and would never break any laws or deal drugs, that sort of stuff. But through the mill, I hear otherwise. She seems sad whenever I'm with her. I don't think that the motorcycle chick life is for her at all. How do I begin to talk to her about making better life choices? How do I help my little girl understand she needs to change her lifestyle? Oh, that's a nice grandpa to even write that.
It is, but listen to his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really in two parts there if you listen to it. Let me see if I can find it in the email. I just pulled it up. I want her away from this guy. There's something there. You know, let's just do this again. I'm sorry, as long as we're cutting this show to ribbons. Did I pull up the wrong email?
Yeah, no, but you read something I didn't read. I was trying to make it shorter to fit it into 2 minutes.
All right, sorry. All right, so I want to toss it to me again one more time.
Oh, this grandpa, he's nice to even write an email like this.
You know, it is nice that he wrote it. By the same token, he's got this agenda that he wants her life to be different. And what's failing, and the reason he's not going to get any traction with her, is he doesn't seem to be acknowledging that she has to make her own choices and that this is what she's choosing. He has to find some appreciation for what she does want in her life before he can jump in and try and say, no, you're wrong, you should do it the way I think you should do it. Recognizing he's a couple of generations removed and may not be in touch with her and has to learn about her some more first. And that will give him the credibility and the traction that she'll start to pay attention.
Also, don't you think that you can choose moments where somebody seems a little vulnerable? You know, you don't bark it on your agenda. You wait until they say, Grandpa, you know, I don't know about Chet. And, or you know, she'll say something that's a little bit of a lead-in.
Yeah, you wait
for
that.
And then
he
can go, well, are you sure he's making you happy? Is he good to you?
That's the primary line, to my mind, is someday when you're sitting with her alone, don't do it in front of other people,
right,
Grandpa in Dallas. Yeah, just say, you know, Cindy, are you happy? Are you happy in your life? What are your goals? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And get her talking about the future. Maybe everyone has ostracized her to the point where, you know, how kids get, they get all insular. I'm not going to talk to anybody. Yes, everything's fine. Everything's fine. But if you could break down that barrier, it really does. You can work miracles sometimes.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to come right back.
If you'd like to be part of the Talk It Over family, call 888-531-7171 anytime or send us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
We are back with Talk It Over Radio. We're all about conflict and resolution and all of that fascinating stuff that happens in between, and juicy, may I add. Are we going to the phones, Matt? What's going on?
Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Marshall. Hello, Marshall.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, Marshall. Thanks for calling Talk It Over to share your conflict with us. What's going on with you?
Well, I have a neighbor, and he's a nice guy. And then when I moved in originally, he has a lot of trees on his side of his fence, and I have a lot of trees on mine. Well, over the years, I mean, we've lived next to each other for like 10 years and, mm-hmm. you know, never had a conflict. But every time he told me when I first moved in, you take care of the trees on your side of the fence and I'll take care of the trees on mine. Meaning if mine are growing into his yard, he'll trim them. If his are growing into my yard, they'll, you know, I'll trim his.
Fair enough.
And I thought, yeah, no problem. But over the years, he's always complained like, hey, your tree, all of a sudden, your tree's growing near my air conditioning unit. So I get out and I trim it. And, hey, your tree's doing this, so I'd trim it. And it was like me constantly taking care of both sides. And I mentioned to him, hey, what happened to our arrangement? He goes, well, I can't get up there. I'd have to pay somebody. And I said, well, you know, that's not cool, you know. So anyways, it just kind of like went back and forth. Well, you know, over time, you know, I, you know, have removed some of the trees in my backyard just because of plumbing issues and this, that, and the other. And my wife and I decided to build a pool. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the trees in the backyard had to come out, except for one. And when I took them down, he was out of town. When he came back, we had a big blowout. And he was like, hey, you removed all these trees. And, you know, the neighbors two houses over have a two-story house, and they can see in my yard now. And you need to plant trees in your yard to, like,
what?
You know, block these people and this, that. And it was just, it's just been a nightmare lately. And I don't know what his deal is, but... You know, it seems like we can't come, you know, I told him, well, you have your yard, there's, you know, open space, why don't you plant a tree on your side and I'll pay for it.
Oh, that's nice.
You know,
nice.
And I thought that was
that
fair.
That was nice.
You know?
Yeah.
But it seems like nothing I can say or do, you know, can make this guy happy. And then just out of the blue, he trimmed one of the trees by my pool and on his side of the fence. And now there's like a gaping hole in the back where no one could see in, but like our neighbors can see into our yard and everything, and all of his tree debris fell in my pool, and it's just getting annoying. So
yeah.
I just don't know, you know, what I can say to him without, like, because we had like a big blowout and kind of went nose to nose, so to speak. And it's just, it's seemingly like, hey, you know, can't you just work with me? You know, I feel like I'm a nice guy. You know, the minute he says, hey, your tree's doing this, boom, I take care of it. The minute it's doing that.
All right.
You know, and he has like a type A personality, so it's
yeah.
kind of hard to deal with.
So, Marshall, here's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You've got somebody who, A, doesn't like change.
Right.
B, likes to control things.
Exactly.
And C, doesn't have a sense of fairness like you do and didn't keep the first deal he made with you. So you can't change any of those three things about him, and that's the first thing you got to recognize. Until he moves away, that's who's living next door to you.
Okay.
What you can
sorry,
do,
Marshall.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean,
there's the good
like
news.
30
right?
years in the neighborhood. So.
But here's what you can do.
Yeah.
You can take responsibility, if you're willing, for what you may have done that may have upset him this much,
right.
so that he backs down some.
Right.
And that's if you're willing to do this. But
yeah.
people get used to what's around them in their environment, and whether the trees are yours or his and whose side of the fence they're on, he's used to the cover. And
right.
when he comes home and the cover's gone, he goes into shock. And what you could have done, not that you had to,
right.
but what the neighborly thing is that you could have done was to sit with him and say, hey, just wanted you to know, here's what we're doing in the backyard. We're going to put a pool in. We're going to move this tree. Come on, let's walk out in the backyard. Let me show you.
Right.
And let him know so that whether he likes it or not, at least he knows what's going to happen. And at that same point, if he complained and you wanted to say, we'll plant a tree on, you know, on your side, if that'll help give you some cover back.
Right.
Then at least you're having a conversation together and he feels a part of it, or at least he's aware of it.
Sure.
So people who are control freaks, when you do something that affects their world, they take that as if you did it to them, even though it had
deliberately,
even though it had nothing to do with him at all. It was all about your pool and your enjoyment, your backyard and all
right.
of that, and your plumbing.
Exactly.
This, he took it as an attack, and he's responding toward you as if you've attacked him.
Right.
So what you've got to do now is what you wish you had done then to avoid all of this, and say, hey, can we call a truce for just a minute and can we sit down and talk?
Right.
I'm really sorry. This must have, I've been thinking about it. This must have shocked you when you came back from out of town and all those trees were suddenly gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sorry. I should have come and at least let you know what I was doing so that you'd have an idea and we could have worked on it together.
Right.
That's really, that's good language. I like that because you immediately disarm him with kindness and understanding of his feelings.
Exactly.
Another thing that would really help is have him come into your house and have him see how things look from inside your house. You know, bring him into, you know, literally your area where he can see what you see, and you point to stuff and say, here's what we decided to do, and here's how it looks from here, and here's how your house looks from our house.
Right.
Because things change once someone becomes a confidant. Like, let me show you what's going on from here. And that's what I've done with my neighbors. I want to trim the trees on my neighbor's yard so that I have a better view.
Right.
And I have him come in and we look at his house and I say, you tell me how far down we can go.
Yeah. Right.
And then he can look at it and he can go, well, level with my rooftop as long as you don't make it look chopped off. And we have an understanding.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, we did something similar to that. I mean, once he came back and, you know, they hadn't really started the construction of our pool and he came over and we went nose to nose and I kind of felt bad. You know, I went over and I kind of talked to him. I said, look, you know, why don't you come over, just like you guys said. And I brought he and his wife, you know, over into our backyard. And my wife and I walked around and said, look, you know, our pool is going to be here and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, that tree's been there for like 30 years and this, that, and the other. And, you know, that was, you know, kind of went back and forth. But then it got to the point, because I was including him in on everything, all of a sudden he was like, oh, you know, I was going to like stucco my wall on my side and everything. He's like, well, I wouldn't stucco it. You know, you need to do this. And, you know, that might make it so that it leaks through on my side. And he started like freaking out. And it was almost to the point where, what, I got to check with him on everything I do in my backyard.
No, that's, you definitely don't want him to get that message at all.
Yeah,
he has no authority over your
decisions.
Exactly.
And that's kind of like my wife and I are like, who's this guy to tell us? We've been here like 11 years almost in our house. And who's this guy to tell us what we're supposed to do in our backyard?
Also, it's your house.
I know. And, like, so during the construction, like, they're digging the pool, and I went and got permits, and the city approved everything. And he, like, leaned over the fence one day, and he was like, oh, you know, it's pretty close to the wall, the pool, and, you know, is that 5 feet? And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, it's 5 feet. The plans were approved and everything. Of course, I'm doing everything legit and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the wall. And next thing I know, I'm getting slapped from the city saying I need to do like a ground survey and this, that, and the other, which cost me like $1,500. And it's like I knew it was because of him, because of his comments.
But can I just jump in here and say,
absolutely,
this is what happens when you don't talk it over from the very beginning.
Exactly.
And now he's feeling like that alpha male that needs to exert himself at every single point.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I'm afraid that the time the time to make that not happen has already passed.
Right.
So, Lee J, what does he do now to bring this guy back from the alpha dog stage?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're doing it calmly.
Right.
You just got to watch when you start going nose to nose.
Right.
What the language you're looking for, because you're fighting over, are you going to stucco your side of the wall or not? And he says, no, you can't do that. And you say, yeah, but we want to make it look nicer. And he says, no, but it's going to make my side leak. And so now you're doing this tug of war over whether to do it or not.
Right.
Instead, ask him, what about us refinishing and improving our side of the wall is so objectionable to you?
Right.
And let him really get down to, and do it in a calm voice like that.
Right.
So that he'll get down to what it actually is that's bothering him.
Right
now he's scratching and clawing and defending against everything.
Right.
Because he's feeling like he has no control. And he's a control freak.
Yeah, he is. Because even like a neighbor that lives like two houses over from him that was doing construction, and the guy's like a general contractor and he was doing the work himself. And, you know, they have rules and stuff like that where, you know, if you're doing the contracting yourself, that you can start at like 7 a.m. on a weekend and you have to finish before 5, which this guy was totally, you know, in compliance with the codes. I mean, he was really nice. He came over. And
this neighbor was all over him?
Yeah, and he would come over to me to complain, oh, this guy's ridiculous. You know, he's been working on his house. What's taking this guy so long? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, you know, the guy's doing it himself, you know? I mean, it's not like 50 people are working on his home every day, and the guy's probably got to watch his budget. And
See, this neighbor of yours just doesn't have boundary issues.
He's a Grinch.
He doesn't understand that his world ends at his wall, and he can't control anything outside
of
that. And that may be something in a calm moment, not in a nose to nose,
right?
But in a calm moment, that may be something you have to say to him, and say, you know, Butch, I just got to tell you, you only get to control what's inside of your property line.
Exactly.
And I'm trying the best I can to beautify what's inside of mine. We're all having to live side by side like this.
Right.
And I'm hoping that we're going to get along okay. And not everything I do is going to make you happy, but I'm trying my best.
Right. And another thing, and I don't know if he's going to hear this or not, Marshall, but another thing is that you can tell him, you know, anything any of us do improves the neighborhood, improves the property values.
Exactly.
So it's a good thing.
Well, we all see that, but, you know, in the city we live in, you know, there's a lot of older people, and they just, yeah, they don't like change.
That's
like
exactly
change.
It.
You know, they go to the city council meetings, and they're like, blah, like, you know, we don't want this, we don't want that. And all the young people that are moving in, that are building up the homes and making look, you know, beautifying the neighborhood and bringing their new children in. And, mm-hmm, you know, you have these people in their late 60s, early 70s that are just like, you know, irate, and, you know, why are you stirring it up? And we like things the way it is. And
Marshall,
blah,
let me give you one piece of peace here.
Okay.
You're not alone. This is happening in every community all over the country. It's the next generation moving in, fixing things up.
Sure.
Everybody's up against it. You're coping with it really well. And if you have these kinds of conversations with them, I think you'll have a good talk it over moment with them before it's all said and done.
All right. Well,
remember, you're the granite kitchen set versus the formica.
Okay. Exactly.
Granite wins every time.
We need you.
Go,
we need you.
There you go.
Keep doing it. Thank you, Marshall.
Well, thank you so much for the call.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that.
It's like rock, paper, scissors. Granite, formica.
But you know what I think it comes down to? Is that they feel like when they were in their 30s, they came in and fixed it up. And so it's done. Like, we did it.
Yeah.
We did it right.
Yeah.
Don't
60s,
tell me
right.
We didn't do it right, because it's done.
The olive green refrigerator has to go.
The olive green.
You are listening to Talk It Over Radio. You see, we solve the world's conflicts two people at a time. Give us a call, 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171, or talkitover@gmail.com. Yeah, I had one of those aqua blue kitchens one time.
Really?
All formica. Oh, yeah. Aqua I didn't design blue. It that way. I rented the house, and it was there. I couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah, I rented a house in Santa Barbara and had the same. I had the speckle, the white with the gold speckles all over it in the kitchen.
Oh, yes. The Italian Rococo look.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, that's
how nice. Hey, Marty in Dover, Delaware has written to us saying, well, it's like this. Don't you like emails that start like
it.
That? Well, it's like this. I know that my mother has been cheating on my stepfather for pretty much my entire childhood. In fact, I'm sure that's why her marriage to my father broke up. In fact, when all of this was becoming clear to me, I finally asked him because I just needed to finally understand all of what happened. My father's response was, I'd rather not say, son. So that means yes, doesn't it? I want to tell my stepfather what's going on with mom. He is the sweetest man, and I'm so angry at my mother. Now that I know, it explains so much, and I'm really furious. So should I talk it over with my stepfather? He deserves so much better than my mother.
Oh, my gosh. What a realization
to come to.
Yeah.
Marty is just such a child of divorce and still feeling the pain and the anger that his parents split up. And he's got to find
someone. I wonder how old he is.
Yeah.
I
mean, he could be in his 20s. He could be in his 40s. It's hard to tell from that email.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, Marty, you don't know. You specifically and particularly don't know, because your father said to you, I'd rather not say. That doesn't necessarily mean what you want it to mean. It might mean your father's embarrassed because of something he did. You don't. No, so don't jump on those assumptions. And your father-in-law, your stepfather, is the worst to talk it over with, because you don't have anything to tell him. If you're curious, if you're concerned, if you're angry, your mother is the one to talk it over with. You sit down with your mother and you say, Mom, here's my concern. It's hard for me because you and Dad split up, and I've got evidence, or it seems to me, that you're cheating on my stepdad now. I'm wondering if this is what ended your first marriage. And if you're doing this to my stepfather, you need to know that it's bothering me too. And I need to have a mother-son talk with you and help me understand. I mean, it's really got to be between them. And if he's lashing out against her by trying to break up her current marriage, he's just going to make an enemy for life, and that's not what he wants to do.
I have a question. I understand that when kids are little...
I like when she raises her hand when she says that. Don't you, Diane?
Yes, I do. It's very cute. It's so
point
sweet.
Of inquiry,
Louise.
Yes, Miss Louise.
I understand that when you've got small children and a marriage is breaking up, you don't want to involve them in the details of who did what to who. At what point, when your children are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, do they have a right to know what happened?
Well, I'm just going to question the word right, and we'll let Diane talk about this for a moment too, but I don't know that they ever have a right to know. I think you can choose to tell them at certain points. You can choose to say, look, you're going through something similar to this. Let me tell you what happened, you know, with us. But a relationship is between two people, and the fallout of a relationship may affect others, the children and everybody else. But they don't owe an explanation to anybody outside of the two of them.
Even if they flat out ask and they say, Dad, Mom, what happened? Did you cheat on Mom? Did Mom cheat? Well, you know, what went down? Even if they flat out ask.
Even then, it's really appropriate to say, sweetheart, that's not your business. That's our relationship. We just thought it was better that we weren't married anymore and let it go. Diane, what do you think?
I agree. I totally agree. Those among us who haven't committed a sin, don't cast the first stone, all of that stuff aside. It's not really your child's business how you've conducted your private life. And that is your private life. This email from Marty just screams to me anger. He's so angry at his mother. And his father sounds like a man of real integrity. Yes. It's not something I'm going to talk about with you, son. You know, still honoring the right of the wife to have left him, really. So I agree with Lee J. I agree with that father. It's none of your business, son. Now, if you're mad at your mom and you think you've caught her cheating, sit down and talk about it with her. Otherwise, see what anger does? It just seethes.
Yeah, it
does. And what about if a parent decides to say, all right, you're 30 now. You want to know what? Your mother cheated on me.
There's nothing good that comes of that. All you're going to do is build resentment between a mother and a son. And the only reason people do that is so they can have an advantage. Mm-hmm. So that the father-son relationship becomes stronger than the mother-son. Or some competitive reason like that that's wholly unhealthy and doesn't do anything but throw the son into the blender in the middle that they're fighting over again, just like when he was little and they got divorced.
Okay, excellent advice. All right, we've got a caller. Who is it, Matt?
Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Michelle. Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling Talk It Over.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Tell us what's going on with you.
Well, I have a situation with my grandmother who was recently hospitalized and now is going through some rehabilitation and is not going to really be able to live independently anymore. When she gets out, she's going to need either full-time care at home or going into a facility. And we're just trying to figure out, because she's has always been very independent, how we sort of talk to her about that and make her feel comfortable and have her be receptive to that.
Michelle, does she understand the full ramifications of what's happened? Does she realize she needs some help?
Well, yes and no. She thinks that she's fine. You know, she's been resisting some of the therapy and we've just been trying to encourage her so that she continues to improve, but she's just not going to be able to live independently because she just can't get around like she used to and her house is just not, you know, made for that.
And does that mean moving her out of her house so that you need to sit her down and explain why you're going to move her out? Or does that mean bringing a stranger in to take care of her?
Or it means somebody that can help her get in and out of bed. And, you know, if there's, she won't be able to use the full house anymore because she won't be able to use the stairs. So having somebody else there with her at all times, and that's obviously a whole different thing.
Gosh, Lee J, how do you talk it over with your elder, your grandma?
Yeah, Michelle, let me ask, how's her mental acuity?
Fine, actually.
Okay, good.
Which makes it kind of tough.
well, yes and no. I mean, here's the thing. She sounds like a bright woman. You called her independent. What I really like is if the family gets together with her and says to her, in fact, even have the doctor who says she's going to need full-time care come in with a family meeting and say, I need to tell you, you're going to need full-time care. You're not going to be able to live independently anymore. And here are your choices. You can either have help come into the home around the clock, or you can be in a facility where you're cared for around the clock and let the doctor walk out. And you all avoid the temptation to say, Grandma, I think you should. And right. instead, respect her dignity, respect her independence, respect her mental sharpness, and say, Grandma, that's a tough choice. Do you want to talk about it? How do you feel?
So it's her choice and not us putting something on her.
Exactly, because it sounds like she's perfectly capable of making that decision. And as long as she makes it, you all don't have to feel guilty about it. You don't mm-hmm. have to feel like you've done something to her. And she still feels in control of her life, so she'll respond better to whatever situation she has to face next.
If you all thrust her decision.
Exactly. If you thrust it on her, then she's going to blame you for it instead of, you know, actually understanding that she's at a point in her life where physically she's not able to live alone, but in every other way she may be able to.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And you know what? Can I just jump in and tell you, be prepared for her not to be prepared
yeah.
to make such a decision. And that's where the talking it over moments come in, where you say, well, let's make a list. Let's us make a list, Grandma. Lee J's best advice is don't start this with, Grandma, I think you should. We have decided you are going to. Because that, to my mind, that just robs elder people of their final years. Yeah. You know,
what you really have to remember is that you're looking at and talking to someone who spent her entire adult life making decisions for herself and yeah. others. And that's what women do, is they really help other people run their lives, or they help organize, or they keep a lot of balls in the air, and you're completely in charge for years and years and years and years and years. And all of a sudden it starts slipping away. And that's not, it's not like you're talking to someone who's never run things. You know, yeah. women are CEOs. They run things. So that's,
don't take that away from her.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's really great advice. I think we'll have to organize something so that, like, just like you said, she's the one making the decision. She's in charge.
Good.
Very good. Good. Very good.
Let us know how that works out.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
You know, Lee J and Louise, there's so many people, God rest my parents' soul, they went fairly quickly and we didn't have to have this conversation, but there's so many people in my family outside my parents and friends' parents to whom this is happening nationwide.
Yeah.
And you're just at a loss. It's like suddenly you have child again. And yeah. Yeah. I don't know, very
tough.
Baby
boomers are now caring for their parents. So it's happening on a grand scale, and everyone is making these decisions within their own households.
Yeah, and Louise is absolutely right. The same advice we gave the last caller, Marshall, with his neighbor. Michelle's not alone in this. It's happening to everybody all over, and if you can find some strength in the fact that you're not the first and only ones going through this, that everybody goes through it, that means that there are public resources to help you with it out there. And it means that there are friends that you can probably talk to who are going through similar things right now if you're a baby boomer, because we are all dealing with, and I can't say we because I'm actually technically not a baby boomer, but we're all dealing with parents who are getting older and having to have these conversations, and we have to not be afraid of them. We have to be willing to step into the conversation and ask questions rather than making statements.
Making directives yeah. to people that have directed things their entire lives. And, you know, the greatest generation, and they raised us and did a fantastic job in like trying circumstances. And now all of a sudden other people are making decisions for them, and, you know, they deserve dignity.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Lee J, you were saying something before we went on the air that I thought was so interesting, and so many people out there, regarding your mother, you got a big afternoon ahead of you here. What, you're going car shopping with her again?
We're going car shopping. Yeah, we did the sit with the salesman and the sales manager in the glass box thing, which is always interesting when you teach negotiation skills, and you know, playing their game with them. But then we also had an interesting situation where we thought we had one of these guys on the telephone who is a dealer and, you know, gets cars at cost and has a leasing company and all that sort of thing. And made a deal. He emailed me the particulars of the deal, the down payment, the number of months, and the, you know, all of that, and you know, the color of the car and the whole thing. And I said, great, done. What do you need from me? He said, send me your check for this much for the down payment, and we'll FedEx me the check, so I have it in my hands tomorrow. We'll get the car here and we'll deliver it to her the next day. I said, no problem. I FedExed him the check. The next day, my mother calls him four times. And remember, she's 83 years old. Calls him four times. never hears back from him, never gets a voice. He leaves voicemails because nobody answers the phone, which is unusual there. She's supposed to have the car Friday because, are you ready for this?
Yes.
In today's economy, my mother went out and got a job.
Shut up.
She was tired of sitting at home and not, and you know, it wasn't just enough for her to spend time with the grandchildren and all that. She went out and got a job. She now works for one of the big cruise lines at the airport, and greets people as they come in on airplanes for their cruises at 83 years old.
That's so
awesome.
And she
is having the time of her life. So she needed a car, and basically, long story short, the guy pulled a bait and switch on her and tried to start telling her, oh no, it's going to be $50 more a month than we thought, and you got to put another $375 on your credit card for the down payment. And she called me, and I called him and said, look, just tear my check up, forget the whole thing. And he said, oh no, I've already cashed your check.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What?
So we had a little conflict around that.
Wow. Let's talk it over a moment. Did you get your check back?
He's sending me a refund check, allegedly. We'll find out in the next couple
of days. So that's real old school hardball.
Oh yeah. That's,
and what do you do when someone does that to you?
You find out about his license and so on. And I'm thinking about all that. But bottom line, we're going car shopping again this afternoon, which is, you know, it's what we meat eaters do on a weekend day just to keep our chops sharp.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Report back to us on that.
All right, who's on the phone, Matt?
All right, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Stacy. Hello, Stacy.
Hi.
Hi, Stacy. Thanks for calling Talk It Over, and tell us what is going on with you.
I'm dreading the holidays. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do the big family get-together with my family.
Uh-oh.
I don't want any part of it.
It sounds like this is really toxic and it goes back for years.
Yes, yes. I got divorced 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and my family didn't like it. And that was the end of it.
So you're the bad girl and you've done wrong and you need to...
been making you feel uncomfortable ever since, right?
Absolutely. And last year, all of a sudden, my mother said, well, do you think you could leave your boyfriend at home?
Oh, no.
And I was like, you know, so I just said to my mom, I understand what you're saying, but imagine if I called you and said that, he was going home for the holidays and I wasn't invited. And she said, okay, well, maybe we can meet for a lunch then.
Wow.
Well, why don't you two just plan on being somewhere? How much how much grief would that cause you if you just were not home during the holidays?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I tried that last year that I was so busy, and my mom said, well, we can try to find a place anywhere where we can meet. But
no, I think what Louise is saying is a little romantic weekend away for two right around the holiday time.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
that
sounds
lovely.
He surprised you. You have a place to go be, and you know, we just want to go be by ourselves this year and celebrate together, and, you know.
Yeah, because why does she deserve to have you when it's got to be on her terms, which are, in my opinion, unreasonable?
I completely agree. So that sounds like a great idea.
Stacey, let me just jump in and don't tell her that.
No.
Don't say, hey, Mom, I'm going to be out of town because you drive me crazy and you don't want my boy. No. Just before too long, like, hello, the minute you hang up with us, call your parents and say, I want you to know that I am not going to be around this holiday. I'm telling you right now, so there are no hard feelings.
Oh, perfect.
Joe and I are planning a trip away. It's going to be a romantic getaway for the two of us, and I don't want you to think it's anything more than that, and I'm just telling you now in plenty of time.
Yeah, this is when he gets time off, and this is when I get time off. So
yes. Oh, that's perfect.
We haven't had much time together lately.
Yeah.
We've both been working hard, like everyone is in this
economy. Can't stand you. No, wait.
And we don't want to sit around while my sister has a breakdown and drinks too much. You
there
know?
You go. And then once that's off your calendar, you're going to just feel like, you know, $1 million.
Oh, I can't wait. Because every year, the last 3 years, it's just been a nightmare.
Forget it. You're not going.
Good.
I won't let you.
Yeah, we give you permission not to go.
We absolve you of that burden, Stacy. Go forth. Announce it to the world.
Send
Yay.
Flowers. You know what?
Yay.
Send Christmas bouquet. Send some poinsettias.
Send
you know, merry holidays to everybody.
And or whatever.
I'll have the kids make cookies.
There you go.
They Perfect. Made them just for you, Mom. It's so sad we're going to miss you.
There you go. I love it. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that, Stacy.
Have a great time. I can just see them sitting on a beach somewhere with a red Santa cap on.
Yes.
Yeah, there
exactly.
you go. Well, we're out of time. I'm so sorry. People holding, don't forget to call us back the next time, 888-531-7171.
We are Talk It Over Radio, are we not, Louise?
We are Talk It Over Radio. Thank you for solving your problems, your concerns with us. We hope we have been of service. I want to thank Lee J. Berman, Diane Diamond, producer Trish, engineer Matt, webmaster Pierce. I'm Louise Palenker, and with that, Talk It Over is over.